Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Sport of Kings podcast. On this pod, we cover the late pick five at Churchill Downs on Kentucky Derby Day, Saturday, May 1st. This is show number 119, April 30th, 2021. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Sport of Kings, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, it's finally here. Are you ready?
I'm ready, and I see... Already, there's always some late breaking news in the Derby, and I see right now a headline on the bottom of the TV screen saying that King Fury will scratch from the Kentucky Derby. I know he was getting a lot of buzz, and that just shows you a horse looking good in the morning doesn't necessarily mean it's in top form, because it was definitely getting a lot of the buzz from the clockers and people watching workouts. But that's unfortunate for the connections. That's unfortunate for our co-host in our last pod with Jay Pridman. That was his hot horse, his Mr. Big News for this year. So some big news coming out already on the Derby.
Well, that is a little disappointing because he was going to take some money, but I didn't think he was going to do anything, even though I think he's a great horse. I mean, I really appreciate him as an animal, and his last race was great, but apparently it took a little too much out of him.
Yeah. And I mean, we talked about that. It's exactly what I thought. That was a really big effort to try to wheel back and crank on him a little bit to get ready for the Derby. Probably just a little bit too much to ask. I don't know exactly. Maybe he's not injured. I just saw the scroll on the bottom. I haven't read anything, but yeah, you know, these horses are fragile. That's why you have to enjoy them when they're in good form, and why it can be such an up and down game as an owner, or as, you know, when you're connected to a horse.
Play in the Sport of Kings NHC qualifier starting every month. Each month, the top 50 players who are NHC Tour members advance to round two, which is Breeders' Cup weekend. In that final, 450 players will duke it out, playing all 14 Breeders' Cup races. Two people will win a seat to the NHC, and the top 100 will get tour points. Join the NHC Tour before any monthly round one begins. If you join the tour, you could win up to 20 seats to the NHC in free contests. For only $50, it's the best deal in racing. If you sign up for the tour, use promo code SPORTOFKINGS so we get credit. If you haven't signed up for our free contest with free DRFPPs, go to sportofkings.net right now. Thank you and good luck. And we have a special returning guest. He's a professional horse player who, when he deigned to play contests, finished second in the very first NHC. He's Maury Wolf. Maury, welcome back to talk Derby with us for a second straight year.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Thrilled to talk to you. Don't see you guys enough anymore, and it is an honor.
And it is a pleasure to have you. I wanted to ask you, Maury, because when I emailed you that I was interested in Rock Your World, you were like, yeah, I don't like him. And I don't know if I like him anymore, but it got me to thinking that, you know, you're back to handicapping, at least for this weekend. And I wanted to ask, what's your general advice for players who are trying to up their game? Meaning, like, what factor do people most need to take into account that they aren't using right now?
It's going to sound facetious, but I'm dead serious, and it's something Chris is familiar with. They don't spend enough time thinking about betting, about what they're going to bet, why they're going to bet, what price they want to get on the bets that they have identified as good, as horses that they like, because handicapping is only a part of the process. And the overlooked part of the process is the betting side. It doesn't really do you a lot of good to have to spend 3 hours or 4 hours handicapping the card and 3 minutes or 4 minutes putting your bets together. You'll just make mistakes and all the good handicapping will be lost in the poor betting. So spend more time thinking about what you're betting and why.
Well, I'm going to be working all night on my super for the Derby, but just to sort of hold your feet to the fire, if we are talking about actual handicapping, what is that factor? You know, what is the one thing that you notice that people aren't really doing that they should be doing?
I don't think they spend enough time visualizing how at least they expect a race to be run, because God knows it doesn't always work out that way anyway. But you should have some sense of where your horse is going to be and whether that fits the situation. You don't want to be betting closers in paceless races. You certainly don't want to be betting speeds in races that are speed crazy. We have one of them in the, we have one of those races in the Pick Five tomorrow. And it just is, you really want to be betting your money when your horse is going to be in a situation where it's comfortable. And you don't want to be sort of becoming insistent on betting a horse just because you like the horse if the situation is mistaken, if the race just doesn't set up well for the horse. I think that's probably, that's probably the point I would emphasize the most. For myself, I spend a lot of time watching films, but I'm not even, I do it more because it's what I've always done. I'm not going to tell you that that's the best use of your time, because I don't know if it is. For those who can, and it's a very small number these days, but I think there's a significant advantage to people who actually know what they're looking at on a racetrack in terms of horse, how the horse looks, how it looked last month. Is it better? Is it worse? The physical evaluation of horses is one thing that virtually nobody can do anymore, because everybody's playing either from home or they're playing a flock of different racetracks or whatever. And there's very few people anymore going to the racetrack and just betting one track. And so any place, if you can be a better and you don't have a lot of company in doing what you're doing, you're much better off. You don't want to, in the sports betting world, you don't want to be betting the NFL. Everybody basically has an opinion there and the market's efficient. You'd much rather be betting something like an obscure college conference where you could be an expert. And in horse racing now, probably the easiest place to be an expert, if you've got any of that background, is evaluating horses physically.
And the way you can do that, if you know how to do it, is you can watch the track feed as opposed to watching, say, TVG. Watch the track feed where they show the horses in the paddock and the walking ring, and take it from there. Chris, did you have any questions for Maury?
Well, I do want to just echo his thing about people spend not enough time on the betting aspect of, you know, wagering and horse playing. So totally agree with that. He knows I agree with that. I have a question. I think you're a great person to ask. It's sort of unique to this year's Derby, and that is, we've got Mattress Mack ready to plunk down between $2 and $4 million to win on the favorite. Presumably that would be Essential Quality. How do you think, obviously that's going to initially drive the odds down, because there'll be that much more money bet on Essential Quality, but how do you think people will react to that? What impact do you think that'll have on other pools? Is that going to influence the way you play the race? I'm just curious, because you're kind of a numbers guy, especially on the pari-mutuel side. So I'm curious to what your take is about that.
Okay. I mean, on the mid-priced horses, you'll probably get about a half a point in additional price as a result of his betting the favorite. It could be more than that, but yeah, we don't know how he's going to place this wager. whether he's, in other words, will he bet all of the money to win? Will he spread a fair amount of it into exotics? So it's hard to say what the, unless you're basically following them to the windows, so to speak, it's hard to know exactly how the, what the pool effect is going to be, but he's clearly intending to bet a very substantial amount of money to, so he's going to bet a substantial amount of money to win. Given the pool size of 2 years ago, when Maximum Security, I believe, was 4-1 and had $6 million bet on him, a $2 million bet would probably, all in the win pool, would lower essential quality by about a point. If he bets more than that, it'll be a little more than a point. It could be a point and a half or whatever. You're talking about a horse who is probably 3-1 or 7-2 before Mattress Mack entered the market. And that will drive it down to, say, 5-2. I would expect that there will be other responses which will move that back some. But overall, it's going to mean a better price on any other horse. And certainly, if you're betting essential quality and you can avail yourself of this, it's not a lot of people can, but you really want to be betting into fixed odds wagers. Circa has them in Las Vegas, for instance, because the price you get, if you like essential quality, the price you'll get on a fixed odds bet is better than the price you're likely to get tomorrow in the Power Mutual pool. It's just an inevitability. They're not going to price their pools because with that kind of distortive effect. So they're going to give you a better price than Mattress Mack is going to provide for you through his parimutuel bet. The phrase for it is the parimutuel effect, which is simply that when you bet money, you affect the price of the horse you bet on. And so if you live in Las Vegas, yeah, and you want to bet essential quality, you should certainly be betting at advanced betting or futures betting at one of the bookmaking places that offers that situation. Circa had it available this morning, I believe. So, if you can do that, that's sort of what you want to do. If you like the favorite, if you like one of the other horses, you probably get a better price in the parimutuel pool than you would get from the shop, from the casinos and the shops. With the classic exception of the extreme long shots, which are always overbet in the Kentucky Derby pool and have been for as long as I can remember.
Based on the early odds, and they're really early, you can see that, all the long shots are like 30 or 40-1. I don't think there's a horse above, there's no horse above 50-1 right now out of the 20 horses in the field.
And that adds up. it's a 17% takeout. If a bunch of 100-1, if you've got 6 or 8 horses that ought to be 100-1 or 50, that's not half the takeout, but it's close to half the takeout. I understand that very rarely those horses come in, but they don't come in nearly with the frequency with which the public is betting. And my goodness, some of the bad horses this year are really bad.
when you're getting in 40, a little over 40-1 on a horse like some of the extreme long shots in the Derby this year, that does seem kind of ridiculous. And like you said, one horse doesn't make a difference, but if you've got 7 or 8 that are getting overbet like that, it really does kind of act as a takeout reducer for the people that are eliminating those horses.
I feel like if you want a bargain in the wind pool, the Triple Crown races probably provide the most unusual betting left in American racing. They always, you see two things. One is horses are ridiculously overbet at the long shot extreme. And if they get, if you get to the Belmont with a Triple Crown on the line, you're likely to see a horse at the short end of the extreme ridiculously overbet. And so that provides opportunities. I think Essential Quality is a perfectly fine horse, but if Mattress Mack wants to bet $2 million on him, I'm perfectly happy to bet somebody else. It's the nature of things is that, and it goes back to betting. The question isn't who do you like? The question is who do you like at what price?
That's what we have to figure out now with this pick five sequence coming up.
The pick five of a few years ago, the one with funny duck, or I forget the horse's exact name. That paid over $500,000. So hopefully we can land on a pick five that will pay that much.
And can I recommend something to your public?
Sure.
If you happen to think that Gamine is the winner of the seventh race tomorrow, the takeout on the pick six and the pick five is the same. They're having a mandatory on the pick six. There will be carryover money in there. So the effective takeout will actually be less in the pick six than the pick five. And if you think Gamine is a cinch for 20, you can bet 20-cent tickets instead of 50-cent tickets. If you don't think Gamine is a cinch, then don't do it. But if you do think Gamine is a cinch, then that is an alternative to the pick five you might want to consider.
I'll even kind of have a corollary to that. If you don't think Gamine is a cinch, and I kind of think she is, but I love to bet against those kinds of horses. But if you think she's vulnerable, then that's great. Another great reason to play that sequence, because everyone's going to be singling her, and you can play it for 20 cents and the mandatory payout, that be a lot of value there, I think. Although I'm kind of in the camp where I wouldn't want to bet against her. She seems kind of like kind of towers over that field. But yeah, it's really interesting. You got a lot of alternatives in the way you play it.
Yeah, it's just, and again, people were on budgets and 20 cents is less than 50 cents. So you get more, your $100 goes farther.
Okay, I think that's fair advice. And let's get started with the pick five. It starts with the eighth race. It's the Pat Day Mile. It's a grade two mile on the dirt, purse of $500,000 for three-year-olds. And Maury, why don't you get us started?
Okay. In the beginning, I talked about how a race sets up. Well, this is a really good example of that because the amount of speed in this race is pretty high. The best horse in the race last year was Jackie's Warrior, who's undefeated around one turn. And he is incredibly quick from the gate, and he's working well. And it is certainly possible that he will just outbreak the speeds to his outside and control, and he'll win. But he's going to be the favorite, and it certainly doesn't have to work out that way. And so my opinion is you don't want Jackie's Warrior to open two in 3 seconds and be holding and be throwing away your tickets, but he's no single. You, I think, need to be considering horses coming from the back in that race. My personal preference is for a horse from Santa Anita, not the second choice from Santa Anita, who will be Dream Shake, but rather Defunded, who I thought had a tough trip in the Santa Anita Derby and is lightly raced. He buried Baffert ran 1-2 in his maiden race. He buried the Baffert horse that was supposed to be a killer and who subsequently went to Oaklawn on Arkansas Derby Day and ran extremely fast. I think Defunded's kind of interesting in this spot as the other horse. Some bad news, I suppose. He worked with Roadster in his next to last workout, they were even, which I thought was a pretty good thing for Defunded an hour ago. But having seen Roadster race rather poorly in the Ali Sheba, I'm no longer as certain that just because Defunded was able to keep pace with him that that workout was that good. You just don't know these things until they run. Nonetheless, I kind of like Defunded in this spot. Beyond that, I can give you pluses and minuses on Star in my dreams. The minus is it was actually, he was fourth alone, and that's usually a really good trip to have. On the other hand, he was in the race that just completely disintegrated, and horses coming from last and next to last, I believe, ran 1-2. He was the first horse to move into that fast pace, and he was fairly close to it. So he might move, turning back, he might run better. He does seem to be moving forward. And Dallas Stewart, as you people who saw the second race today, he's very good at this time of year.
All right. Okay. Well, let's let Chris pick one horse. We'll each pick a horse, and then we'll do a round table for all the other contenders. Chris, what did you think?
Yes. Sorry. Yeah, the old mute button got me that time. Has to happen at least once a show. I'm sorry about that. I agree with Maury that the pace seems really sharp in here. And you have to factor that in going a one turn mile. I think it could be really demanding on the horse in the front end. You know, Jackie's Warrior could be good enough, but I'm always a little leery of these precocious, really fast 2-year-olds coming back as 3-year-olds. A lot of times, you know, they don't develop. In fact, they don't ever even get back to their best races. I do think the horse has had some excuses in its 2-turn races and it's cutting back. So it's been training well and all that. But man, it's going to have to run a really big race to win this on the front end. Maury made a good case for Defunded. I kind of like the other horse from Santa Anita in here as the most likely winner, not necessarily the good win play, but that's Dream Shake, who I think, you know, has only been beaten by Medina Spirit. Life is good in Rocky World and never has run a bad race. The cutback makes perfect sense. A little bit of class relief makes perfect sense. You know, and the horse, you get a nice stalking trip behind that fast pace. So it's hard for me to not say that's the most likely winner, but I think at 7-2, you're not getting a lot of value. So this is the kind of race where I like to reach deep and try to find a horse that can come from way out of it, you know, and get that suck up, clunk up, you know, fall apart late closing win. And I'm going to go with a horse that won't surprise our frequent pod listeners. I'm going to go with Sitting on Go to come from the clouds and win this race. I've been kind of on against all of the Romans horses when they were outside Kentucky. And for like the last 4 or 5 months, I've been saying, hey, but they can wake up when they get back to Kentucky. Well, this is a good test of that. This horse's only win was going a mile at Churchill, and she gets a setup and it's back in Kentucky. And it's, Dale Romans at a big price. So I think this is the race where you might be able to catch, you know, that angle I've been talking about. The Romans will be against him outside Kentucky, but play him in Kentucky. So this is the chance to cash in on that assumption, and we'll see if it works.
Okay, well, I'm going to echo. I actually like both of your picks. I think Dream Shake is the most likely winner, and I'm going to, you know, make him my top pick because he looks like not only the fastest, but he has the closing style, and he had a sensational workout right before the Santa Anita Derby, and that I think reflects his health, and he still finished third in the Santa Anita Derby, so I think he'll probably win this one pretty easily, but I would also use some other closers, and that would include Maury's pick of Defunded, your pick of Sitting on Go, and I would also throw in Whiskey Double.
I do want to Well, his last, well, Dream Shake's last work was just a maintenance work. His previous work, 59 and something, was really good. Super easy, very, very impressive work. The only reason, I mean, he basically fits the race beautifully. It was more a matter of, you're probably going to get three or four times the price on Baffert's horse that you get on Dream Shake. Baffert's horse had the tougher trip, and it's more a matter of price than anything else. Dream Shake could very easily be a horse that's better as a one run closure than as an evenly type two turn horse. Certainly as one sprint, he certainly has a move. I have no knocks on Dream Shake at all. It's just a matter of, I was looking for something, just looking for a better price.
Yeah, I wonder if Defunded will, you know, because he's at Churchill Downs and he's Baffert, I wonder if he'll go get bet down from that 6-1 morning line.
Well, and he gets IRAD. You got Baffert and IRAD. So I'm not sure you'll get that much of a better price on Defunded than you will Dream Shake. We'll have to wait and see, but I think that connections are going to attract some money for sure.
You think they've heard of Baffert in Kentucky?
All right. What about Whiskey Double, you guys? He's a little slower, but he's improved every race. And he is a closer, so I wouldn't toss him out. And
yeah, I'm with
he's
you
on 12 Whiskey to 1 Double. Morning line, probably be higher than that.
Yeah, he's the other closer that I like in here at a price, sitting on going Whiskey Double. If the race falls apart, those are two, you know, price horses that could be the ones to take advantage of it. I do think, though, Dream Shake could get a dream trip and is the one to beat. But I kind of agree with Maury. The price won't be great on that one. I'm just not so sure Defunded is going to be much better. That's all.
You may well be right. It was always hard to anticipate the public, and now it's even harder. And if they're if they're close to the same price, Dream Shake is probably the better horse. But you know, if there's some gap, we didn't mention Prevalence. We should probably at least mention that he's in the race. I'm not a fan of this horse. His debut was good. His second race really wasn't that. It was kind of dressed up and wasn't that good. And I thought his Wood Memorial was even not liking him, I thought it was a disappointing effort. He really didn't like being in the position that he was in that race. And I think he's going to be in the same position here, which is sort of between and behind. And he's probably going to take money, and I just think he's unlikely to do well. I'm not a fan of Whiskey Double only because they came home pretty slow in the 7-ace race, and I think in part that the close was a little bit deceptive. It was, the winner was being eased up, and you know, it's a little easier to close in that. It's a little easier to close in that kind of circumstance. But again, nobody ever went. The problem isn't betting 2-1 shot. Betting 12. If you got a reason to bet a 12-1 shot, for God's sakes, bet it. They can. When races fall apart, funny things happen. Which is why, by the way, I mean. Chris didn't mention it, but if my recollection is sitting on go, actually won on Derby Day last year. It was either Derby Day or the day before.
Yeah, it's weird to think that Derby Day was in September, but yeah.
Yeah. and he paid $50, and Dale Roman's horses. Dale is sort of in the Jerkin school of, you can't win a race that you don't enter. And so Dale puts a lot of horses in spots that look too tough, and they pay $50 sometimes. you know, he's not afraid. He's not afraid to be embarrassed. You know, that he's not afraid to have a horse of his run bad. Yeah, I mean, it would be, and essentially that was exactly what happened in the Iroquois. It was a 2-year-old race, but again, they went fast early. The race collapsed, and he circled and won it easy.
Yeah.
Third horses are both running in the feature.
Right. Midnight Bourbon and Superstock were the horses he beat, and it was at Churchill going a mile on Derby Day. And, you know, we've talked about Dale Roman's, when he does win with these kinds, it's typically at Churchill. I think the horse is live, could run up the track again too. I've been looking for a couple of these Roman's horses to fire at a price and back in Kentucky. This looks like one that's going to get a setup. So if it is ready to run, it should at least get the trip it needs. And Corey Lannery, I like him on these kind of horses. He'll drop back and save ground and then make a big run. We'll see if he's good enough.
And one other thing, again, because you should always look to reasons to bet 20-1 shots. He's been around one turn twice. He's 2-for-2. He could very easily just be a one turn, one run horse.
That needs
well,
a
there
setup.
We go. He's definitely a use. We'll see what happens. Let's move on to the ninth race. It's the American Turf Stakes Grade 2, 1/16 on turf, purse of $500,000 for 3-year-olds. Chris, why don't you get us started on this one?
This race is almost impossible. I mean, this was one you want to spread. I mean, my main opinion on this one is the favorites, like 4 Annex and 13 Scarlet Sky, they're not any more likely to win than a lot of other horses in here. So I'd be against the favorites and just be looking for prices. Do I have a strong opinion about any horse in here? No, probably not. There's 2 or 3 in here that are double digits on the morning line that I think I'd be interested in. So I'll mention one and then kick it out to you guys and maybe come back if you haven't touched on the others I like. Probably the most interesting horse just from an upside perspective is the 1 horse, Excellent Timing. The horse has kind of galloped in his last couple dirt sprints and it moved to the Chad Brown barn. So it's a second start for Chad Brown. It's not surprising that he wants to stretch it out and try it on the turf because that's what he does. And it's probably part of the reason why they picked this horse up is they were thinking this all along. Draws the rail, gets Rispoli. The big negative in this one is what Maury talked about last race. There's quite a bit of speed in here, but on turf routes, that speed on paper doesn't always translate onto the track because the riders are more reluctant to send. So you never quite know how to develop, but you know, the horse could get caught up in a speed duel and that could be, you know, its downfall. But if you got that morning line, which again is an if, I think that horse is interesting. I mean, it could run a big race in here. I have a feeling that you won't get that price. I thought that horse was kind of interesting. I don't know if it's necessarily the play in the race, but it's one of several that I'm interested in, and I'm kind of have to watch the board on this race.
All right, Maury, who did you think was your top play in this race?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because while we may have come to this, while we may have the same idea, I really like this horse. Win from within is very gate quick. While the first fraction in the 12 post race isn't impressive, what was impressive is how fast he got over. The fractions last time at Tampa were breathtaking. If you look up the other 2-turn races, which were mostly older horses, there's nothing resembling this. This horse is really fast. The Wesley Ward horse on the outside is the concern. When he ran 6.5 at Kentucky Downs, yeah, he sat second. He could have sat. Yeah, that was the jockey's choice to sit second. He was loaded. but it is Johnny, and Johnny doesn't Johnny tends not to get involved in reckless duels, and I'm halfway thinking he will he'll be okay sitting second to win from within. Saez is extremely aggressive, and so I really expect him to go for it at all costs, and I would not be surprised if Johnny looks at that and just says, okay, it's yours. This horse was a breed. He was working great into his race at Gulfstream opening first week of January. I bet him that day. I never take 8-5 in life, and almost took 8-5 at Tampa because, again, he was working terrifically. And he's been working very well since. The works that I've seen, which aren't many, but the works I've seen are good. I just think he's going to control this race. I think a lot of the horses with ability are sort of one-run closers, like Annex, like the McGee horse. Scarlet Sky. And I just sort of think Win From Within can control this race. And he's got more ability. I think he's got more ability than these other horses if he gets to control. So I'm betting him, and that's my one horse.
Wow. 8-1. It'll be interesting to see if he actually goes off that high. But there are a lot of horses, including Chad. I sort of looked at the time form pace projector, saw that it was a very fast pace. I see so many horses that want the lead that I got to figure they work it. But I might, at 8-1, include Win From Within just in case everybody decides to take back. The horse I landed on is all the way on the outside. It's Palazzi. It is a tough post, but he's a closer. And I like the look of his line. And I think he's 20-1 or so. So that's who my top pick is. He's 10-1 morning line.
Yeah, I think both of the horses you outlined, if the pace is reasonable, Win From Within, big threat. If they go fast, then Palazzi is clearly a threat. I would throw in a horse that Maury mentioned, the Wesley Ward horse coming off the layoff. It's been working really well. It had a lot of talent as a two-year-old, and it did win its only turf try at Kentucky Downs. I kind of agree that Johnny Velasquez will want to take kind of a stalking approach. So if the horse cooperates, could get a good trip in here because it has a tactical speed, I think, to avoid going too wide. But it's all about the trip for that horse. But if they can get it to relax, it might get first run on any of the closers like Palazzi. And it could run a big race. I mean, it was pretty fast as a two-year-old. So if it's developed, it could be, you know, the best horse in the race. But it may not get the trip, and it may not be ready off the bench, although it has been working really well. So at 20-1, to me, I'm pretty interested in next if you actually would get anything close to that price.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I don't think you certainly wouldn't have gotten that price last week at Keeneland, but it's just hard to see. You know, it's hard to say on a Derby Saturday where these prices are going to land. I don't think he doesn't look like 21 paper to me. I expect him to be considerably shorter than that. But
and Wesley Ward is 2-for-4 at the Churchill meet, not including today. So he's still got it.
Yeah, I mean, Wesley Ward's Keeneland meeting was one for the ages. It wasn't just two-year-olds. Everything ran. It's pretty clear that he's got the setup he has in Kentucky is better than the setup he has anywhere else. And his horses seem to run better here.
All right.
He's one of those guys. Throw out at your own peril.
I'm going to throw out a couple others just, you know, so that if I hit that pick five tomorrow, people don't say I was holding back. I would, just because I think this is a big field and it's, you know, anything could happen, I'd go pretty deep here. I would throw in Chess's Dream, Annex, Royal Prince, Barrister Tom, and Hidden Enemy. And mainly because they're closers and they have numbers that are, you know, near the fastest horse, which is probably Annex, is maybe a hair faster than any other horse here on turf.
Yeah, I mean, it's a spread race. I don't think you want to spread too much because there's a lot of horses in this sequence. You start spreading too much in a couple of races, your ticket's going to get pretty big. But yeah, it's definitely hard to narrow in on a horse you love in this race, for sure. It's really hard to predict how the race is going to unfold. It kind of looks like it's going to be speed. But even if it is a fast pace, it might not necessarily be all the speed horses that go. And there might be a couple of them that sit off and get good trips. Or they might all decide to let one of them go and he wires the field, or they all get in a speed duel and it, you know, it's a bunch of closers. Really hard, you know, doing what Maury talked about, what visualizing how the race is going to be run. This one's a tough one to me. This is a hard one to figure out how it's going to be run.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Maury.
Yeah, one horse that nobody's mentioned that I at least should be mentioned because he's going to take money is Du Jour. He isn't fast. The last race, it was a slow pace. It was a four-horse field. He looks like a speed horse. He really isn't. The best race he's run, actually, was his closing race first time out, which was very good. The races subsequently, you can just look at the prices he went off at 2-5 and 3-5 and kind of get a sense of what those races were like on paper. I don't particularly like this horse, but if he is ridden from the back, he's actually got kick, and it's not, you know, it's not impossible. I saw something with him I've never seen before in a Baffert horse. This horse is training on the Santa Anita training track. And he's just sort of basically, these are un-Baffert like works. This is probably Bob Baffert's first starter in this race. I mean, you almost never see Baffert with a grass horse, you know, but he bought this horse for his wife and, as a partner. And, you know, it's pretty clear that he thought this was a grass horse from the beginning. As I said, I'm not a fan of his, but I wouldn't be stunned if he tripped out and sort of got in front of the closers and behind the speeds and worked out a really good trip. Not for me, but I certainly wouldn't ignore him completely.
He looks right on the numbers. I was going to toss him just because of the pace scenario. I mean, because you do have to sort of take a stand somewhere. It'd be interesting to see if he's actually 5-1, you know, because due to the Baffert factor.
Yeah, I think that's a little light, but it is Baffert.
Well, I don't know if Pratt will really get bet at. I mean, it's Derby Day, so there's a lot of jockeys that are going to take some steam. So I don't know if Pratt will affect that price at all.
Nah, not in Kentucky. Pratt's not gonna. He's not the kind that's gonna draw money to the horse.
Okay, so we'll wrap that one up just by saying make sure you go deep, and I think I can go deep. I'll probably have a ticket where I single Dream Shake and go deep in that race because I think Dream Shake is the most likely winner, even though I would also like to use. A few other closers in the race. We'll move to the 10th. It's the Churchill Downs Stakes, 7 furlongs on dirt, purse of 500,000 for 4-year-olds and up. And Maury, what did you think here?
I have sort of strange opinions in this race. I don't think Whitmore is the same horse he was. I don't think he's a particularly good horse at 7 Ace. I think on a Derby day kind of crowd, he might even get a little more bet than he should be. I think he's going to get more bet than he should be, period. And I think it might get an extra, he might get a little extra money for the name recognition. I'm not a fan of his in this spot. I like a couple of longer prices. One of the horses, I do my own numbers. I've got the fastest horses. The fastest race that anybody's coming out of is the allowance race at Gulfstream with Fat Man and Endorsed. I actually thought Endorsed ran the better race that day. And if I were to pick one horse, it would be him. He's another horse. I mean, he's like most three-year-olds in this world, especially with blood like this, the connections will always think long because that's where all the money is and that's where all the glory is. But as life goes on, you find out that sometimes these horses who look like they're better at two turns really aren't. Endorsed Mother was beaten a length in the Breeders' Cup sprint for fillies. He's got three sprints in his life, none of them against great horses or anything, but he won his two six furlong races and the seven furlong race you can see, which was, I thought the rail was bad that day. He was trapped on the inside. It was a tough trip. Fat Man, on the other hand, benefited because he was circling on the outside. And I just think that Endorsed might be a little better play in here than Fat Man. The other horse I want to mention is a horse that I'm just a sucker for and have both winning and losing tickets to prove it, probably more losing tickets. The Marcassi horse, Tap It to Win. I've been a fan of this horse from when I saw him at Saratoga. He celebrated that by being eased in his next two races. then he ran two very good races off the bench, especially the second race at Belmont, which was outstanding. He beat Mystic Guide, who subsequently, you know, is turned into among the best older horses in the country, and was the winner of the Dubai Cup a couple of weeks ago. This horse on his day can run an extremely fast and good race. The Tampa race was, you know, just a Florida bred, easy, you know, just a really easy first race. That race was pretty fast. Didn't beat anybody, but that wasn't the idea. I mean, again, I think this horse will probably be a decent price. And he's tactical. And those are the two horses I'm most interested in, or Endorsed and Tap It to Win.
Very interesting. Very interesting. You sort of tipped the scales for me on Endorsed. Chris, where did you land?
Well, I definitely like both the horses that Maury mentioned, Endorsed and Tap It to Win. I think they're both contenders. I love Tap It to Win, second off a layoff, four-year-old. We've talked about this many times on the pod. To think the horse is sitting on a big race and definitely showed some talent last year. So, yeah, I think lots of upside there. Endorsed, all the things Maury said are true. Fat Man runs fast races, but he never runs two fast ones in a row, especially shipping to Kentucky. So I'm against him. He's not a favorite in here, but I mean, between he and Endorsed, I agree. I like Endorsed. But, you know, a horse I really like is Mind Control. I've always liked this horse. I've cashed on him sometimes. I've lost on him sometimes. I liked him going into his last race, but I was a little nervous because it was off a layoff. And he ran okay. He was second best. But it did look kind of like he needed the race. And he was down on the rail on a day when the rail wasn't very good. So second off a layoff, and he's got a really fast workout since that last race. I think we're going to see the best Mind Control, and I think he's the one who's run the best races of all the horses in this field. He loves seven furlongs. I just really think he's very strong in here. I think Flagstaff and Whitmore are both horses I'm always against, and I'll be against in here, and they'll take some money, and kind of ensure that you get a good price on the other horses in the big field. So, you know, I really like Mind Control. I also, you know, like Tap It to Win and Endorsed. But, and there's one other horse I like quite a bit in here. And that's how I'm going to play it, you know, kind of key Mind Control with those two and the other horse I like, and then to try to beat those favorites. I think it's a very good betting race. So I'll talk about the other horse I like if it's not the one that Scott's on. So, Scott, what do you think?
Well, I'd say there's a good chance that the horse that you also like is the horse that I'm choosing in this race, and that is Lexingtonian. He loves running second off a layoff. He did that at Churchill Downs at this distance last year. He's starting from the outside. He should be near the lead. It's projected to be a slow-paced race. So I figure at most he'll be three wide, but he might be two wide. And, you know, sitting just off a pace that's not that hot. The trainer excels second off a layoff with a 305 ROI. And he's 20-1. So that's my play. I'm going to use some of the horses that you guys are talking about, but I'll throw it back to Maury to see who else he likes.
Mind Control was sort of, I like Mind Control too. He was sort of the next, he was for me, the next horse. Always been an underrated horse. Good 7/8 horse. No problem whatsoever with that idea. You're right. There isn't much pace in this race. For a grade one stake race. I mean, I imagine Flagstaff will leave. Tap It to Win will certainly get position. You know, should get position. But there's really, you know, for race, I guess Get the Prize, who I don't like at all, but nonetheless has a little bit of speed, and Lexingtonian has a little bit of speed. Yeah, I mean, it's just sort of Bango. They're all kind of, Bango certainly has speed. There, it's just nobody is, usually you see, you expect to see somebody really fast in this race, and there's nobody really fast. Typically also means that they get bunched. That can be bad for trips. When races get bunched, a lot of times you'd rather be on the outside because horses on the inside tend to get roughed up. But it's, I think this is a wonderful betting race. Like Chris, I'm not a big fan of Flagstaff either in this spot. And, you know, if you don't really like the two favorites, that's when you're supposed to bet. And I think this is a wonderful betting race.
Was I correct, Chris, on your?
The horse I like quite a bit, probably my second choice in the race, is the three horse Basin, who is kind of exactly what Maury said. I mean, as a 2-year-old, he, you know, won twice at Saratoga, including a stakes race sprinting. And then they brought him back as a 3-year-old on the Triple Crown Trail. He never looked like a 2-turn horse. He still ran kind of on class and hard. He did actually run second to Charlatan in the Arkansas Derby, but it was kind of clear he was a 1-turn horse. So they actually did shorten him up at the end of the year at Saratoga. And he ran a nice second to Yao Pan, who was a very good sprinter. And then they brought him back this year. Obviously, you know, they're convinced, like they should have been early on, that it's a sprinter. And he came back with a really nice 7 furlong off the bench win. Now he's second off a layoff, a 4-year-old who was really talented, meant to be a sprinter. His last 4 sprints, he's won 3 of them. The only horse that beat him was Yao Pan. You know, second off a layoff, you know, he's sitting on a big, big race, I think. And he's, I think, the main threat to Mind Control, in my opinion. But those two look really strong in here. And Tap It to Win and Endorsed, I like maybe Lexingtonian. But to me, Basin is the one that could run a monster race in here, even more so than Tap It to Win, who's talented. But, you know, to me, Basin's on another level and kind of level above as a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old than Tappet to Win was. So I think he's going to run a big race, and I have to watch the odds boards on this race, but I'm hoping that they do bet Flagstaff and Whitmore, and you'll get prices on horses like Mind Control and Basin and Tappet to Win and Endorsed. I think it's a real good betting race, just like Maury said.
Yeah, I agree that Basin is a use, especially at 8-1, which I think you'll get because there's going to be there's such a level of competition in this race.
I can say one of them. They bet. Yeah, he must have been working fantastic, because that horse on that on Florida Derby Day in the Sir Shackleton, he was bet like the race was over. I mean, it was just he just like he sort of looked, and it was funny because Pletcher had a horse with another horse who had a really good, you know, who'd been really good and was off time. And she didn't get bet at all. And it was like, then suddenly this horse was similar paper, although one was a grass filly and the other, and this is, you know, a 4-year-old colt. So it's just like, my God. And I'd seen the other horse, it worked fine. And I was just astounded at the money on this horse. So this horse has been training. Yeah, this horse had to have been training brilliantly. No knocks on Basin.
Okay, let's move to the 11th. It's the Bourbon, the Old Forester Bourbon Turf Classic. It's a different whiskey every couple of years. This year, it's the Old Forester Bourbon. Might have been the same way last year. I don't remember, but it is a grade one, 1 1/8 on turf. Purse of $1 million for 4-year-olds and up. And Chris, where did you land here?
Well, it's kind of interesting because I think, if I recall correctly, that we covered this race last year with Maury on the card, and he and I, and I don't know if you as well, all like Digital Age and at a price that day, and he won. And he's sort of a horse for course at Churchill, and he's kind of the other Chad in this race, so he might get overlooked a bit. It's interesting. Chad Brown just keeps racing his horses less and less frequently. He used to like give him a prep for the target race, and now he just kind of runs them 3 or 4 times a year and only in grade ones. And that's what he's doing with the 5-horse Domestic Spending and the 6 Digital Age. I think Domestic Spending will get more of the money, and he's a good horse, but I think at Digital Age has run faster in the past, doesn't have the same upside as Domestic Spending, but you know, they've been training together and I'm sure they've been training really well, and he wouldn't have him in this race if they weren't ready to go. And if you can get anything near that 8-1 at Digital Age, he seems like value in a race that's got a lot of other contenders that I'm sure you guys may be on other horses. And I have a few other opinions. But to me, a little deja vu here with the pod. And if Maury's on it on Digital Age, that'll be a good sign because that worked out pretty well last year.
I brought up the podcast script, which includes all my picks, and I had him as a use, though I did not pick him on top. I don't know if Maury, if you recall whether you picked him on top, but let us know, and also who you like in this race.
This is the race I found inscrutable. I'm not even sure. I don't, any horse I pick, I will tell you why he, it's more like I can pick any horse and tell you why he won't win. As Chris said, Domestic Spending and Digital Age have been working together for the last, I don't know, month or whatever. They're inseparable in the morning. They just go around together. Their noses apart, same amount. They train like the same horse. The only sort of qualms I have about both of them, and I guess a little more about Digital Age, there's no speed in this race. And that's going to make it hard for Digital Age and probably also for Domestic Spending. That said, I like them. And I sort of think they're probably the two best horses in this race as horses. Colonel Liam is in wonderful form, and he's getting that classic perfect IRAD trip, and maybe he gets another one tomorrow. But in this game, it's just kind of silly to keep betting perfect trip horses at 2-1 on the assumption they'll get another perfect trip. And so while anybody who's betting the race shouldn't be throwing him out because he can win, he's not the kind of horse I'd want to be betting at 2-1. Difference between the pick five in life and and when you're betting an individual races, you don't always want to get beat in a pick five by a horse who's overrated, but can still win, can still quite easily win. Other horses I was interested in, the two Chads are probably the horses that interest me. Smooth Like Straight obviously is likely to be the controlling speed. And, you know, you just don't throw out controlling speed in life, especially when he's been around these horses. That said, he's not working great. He's another one who's just had soft trip after soft trip after soft trip. His speed, the fact that he's a tractable speed horse sort of gives him that in life. And yeah, he can win, but he'll be second choice to Colonel Liam. And once again, I'm not that smitten with the idea of taking 3-1 in a race that I consider confusing. A horse I'd love to like is Ivar, but he just doesn't seem to run well off. Yeah, he doesn't seem to run well off time. He seems to run spectacularly well second race off time. And I think he's the most talented horse in this race. A mile and an eighth may be too far, and he's not a good time horse. He'll be probably sitting second to smooth Like Straight, and stranger things have happened in life than a horse sitting second alone, who's the best horse, and going by. In the end, I don't think he will, because, as I said, he doesn't seem to be a good time horse. And I'm guessing he'll be short, and he might also very well be better at shorter distances than a mile and an eighth. So I can't recommend him, but I can say that you probably at least ought to use him defensively just in case, because it's, again, just as with Smooth Like Straight, it's easy to envision the situation where he gets a trip and wins. I'm good. This to me is a go deep race, and any of those horses I've mentioned can win. I think Digital Age is probably the best, might be the best mile and an eighth horse when he gets life his way. He's not going to get his life his way tomorrow, but he's a wonderfully talented horse. And if he gets lucky and somehow there's more pace shows up in the race than looks like there is on paper, well, yeah, he's got the best closing last quarter, I think, of anybody, except maybe his entry mate, and maybe including his entry mate. I think he's actually a little better horse than Domestic Spending. Although Domestic Spading, God knows, seems to know where the winner's circle is.
Well, it is a wide open race. I'm going to choose a horse that hasn't been mentioned yet. I do like Digital Age. Like, he's a strong A-type horse for me. But I'm going to go with Ride a Comet. He ran three races ago. He ran as fast, maybe not as fast as Ivar, but he ran a nice race at Gulfstream, and he's circling back to that. And he's one for one at the distance. He actually won the Del Mar Derby a few years ago. And I think there's a good chance that he actually, because he used to run closer to the pace, there's a good chance that he sits second and gets first jump on Smooth Like Straight. So those would be my two strong plays. But I think almost any horse in this race can win. I think literally any horse in this race can win. So if there's, you know, it's almost an all race.
Yeah, I listening to Maury and you, Scott, I pretty much agree with everything you all said. My strongest opinion in this race is really play Ivar next time out at a mile, because he's the best horse in the race at a mile. He is really nice horse, and I think he does need that race. Oh, and also hoping he gets a rider switch from Joe Talamo. But if he gets a rider switch and they cut him back to a mile, unfortunately, Talamo rides him all the time, but that horse he's a nice horse. And like Maury said, he's off the layoff. He doesn't typically run his best. The trainer's not typically that good off the layoff. And the 9 furlongs distance is a question, but if they run him second off the layoff, cutting back to a mile, you know, that horse is going to run a good race. So that's the time to play him. Not that he couldn't win in here, but I think, his paper looks pretty good, and he's probably going to get bet. And, you know, I'm much more interested in him next time out. So very interesting race, very tough, wide open race. That's going to be tactical. And we'll see, you know, smooth like straight, should be able to control it on the front end. Is he good enough to hold everybody off? Will anybody make an early move? Maybe Ivar would be the most likely, maybe Ride a Comet. I would think Ivar would be the one that's going to be. Question is he going to be chasing smooth like straight, or is he going to be stalking smooth like straight? And for me, that means.
The trainer was pretty clear when he won the Maker's Mark last year, or whichever that mile race is that he won, that he wants to drop far back. So I don't think he'll be that prompter.
But this is a whole different race. It's a different distance against different horses. This is a paceless race going a mile and an eighth. Versus a race with some pace going a mile. So just because that was their strategy that day doesn't mean that's necessarily the tactics they'll employ in this race. Maybe, but you know, I would anticipate he'd be the one that'll be the first one to make a run at smooth like straight. Question is, how much horse will he have and when will he make the move? So we'll see. It'll be an interesting race. I think it really is wide open, like you all said.
I think he will come from far out of it, just because I did hear the trainer say that. But I think he's got a shot. The trainer actually won the other day with a horse coming off a nearly year layoff at 32-1 on the turf.
He's good.
He is good. He is good, and he has tactical speed. I just don't see how he couldn't be sitting second or third in this race. I mean, they're going to have to strangle him to be behind horses like Digital Age, Domestic Spending, Count Again, Master, you know, maybe Master of Hounds could be up there, but I just don't see how he's going to be dropping way back in here. That would be really a bad strategy if that's what they do.
I do want a second, please, said Chris on Joe Talamo. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, for a grade one turf router, he's like the last rider I would put on. But clearly he has had some success with him. Can't fault that, but he's, you know, definitely from consistently good rides on the turf. I wouldn't put him anywhere near the top of the list.
Well, I think, you know, now that you guys feel that way, I think I'm including Ivar on my ticket, because I think he might have just put him in the winner's circle.
Could have. I mean, he certainly could win. He's got the talent. And like I said, he might get a pretty good trip, but I think there's some big question marks there too. I'm real interested in him next time out for sure. I'm hoping he gets like a bad trip. I hope they strangle him back to dead last, and that would be great for his next time out. That would be perfect.
All right. Well.
Yeah. I needed him as the last time he ran. That's life.
All right, well, let's go to the big one, the Kentucky Derby, 12th race, mile and a quarter. A purse of $3 million for three-year-olds. And Maury, eagerly waiting. I've been waiting for this moment. Who do you like?
Okay, well, first of the one thing that should be said off the top, I watched the mile and a quarter. They ran a mile and a quarter maiden race a couple of days ago. And they have a new 20 horse starting gate. And that new 20 horse starting gate has eliminated the problem of the one post where the horse would, if it ran straight, would run directly into the inner rail. That is no longer the case. So while the one post may still create problems from the standpoint of traffic, it is no longer anywhere as close to the problem it has been for low these many years, where basically horses couldn't run straight and not, they almost had to come out of the race not riding so that they could avoid hitting the rail. The new starting gate is going to make an enormous difference. It also will make a big difference for the 14 and the 15. And, you know, I'd say Churchill's pretty fortunate because Essential Quality drew the 14 and Known Agenda drew the 1. And those are two of the contenders. So, you know, I think that will be much less of a big deal this year than it has been customarily in the past. I look at this race and say, oh, gee, it's hard. As you know, and as you can see in basically a quick once over, there's very little speed in this race. Most of the speeds fell by the wayside, and as a result, you've got Rock Your World, you've got Soup and Sandwich, who was sort of stalking on the outside in the Florida Derby. You've perhaps got the first two horses out of the Louisiana Derby who may show speed. You've got Medina Spirit, who has certainly shown speed in the past. But it is by Derby standards it's going to be a pretty non-speed race. That said, even when this race doesn't seem to have any speed in it, they still somehow managed to go 45 to the half and one, you know, 45 to 46 to the half and one 10 and change for three quarters. So it's rare in life that you just get, when you're running for $3 million in a race, everybody wants to win, somebody goes. We've been watching all these horses, most of the horses' workouts have been available on the Kentucky Derby Twitter site for the last 2 weeks. XBTV has the California horses. So yeah, basically been able to see everybody train and so forth. The horses this year, as opposed to previous years, when actually it has been, frequently the best paper horses were the best training horses. This year, it's more like obscure horses have trained really well. And the big reputation horses have just have been good, but not oh my God, kind of great. And so that sort of equalizes things a little bit. I have one future going, which I bet a few days ago. I had a really good future going 3 months ago, but Greatest Honor isn't in the field. I off the way he worked about 10 days ago, I grabbed 20-something to 1 on Mandaloon. I understand that I know as well as anybody that horses coming off 5th and 6th place finishes don't have a storied run in the Derby, and I have no explanation for that. What I fear is the explanation for that, but nobody says anything, is, again, we're all running all these graded races, not on Lasix, and you have no idea who's bleeding and who has another explanation and who just ran bad. You don't know anymore. Some trainers will say it, but most trainers are not going to say anything. And so you're left to guess as to whether bad races are attributable horses bleeding or not. The way Mandaloon's trained, I'm just sort of taking the bullish attitude that whatever was wrong in Louisiana isn't going to be wrong on Saturday. He's got a lot of, he's got good tactical speed. He'll be forwardly placed in a race where I think that will be advantageous. I like the winner of the, I think he's getting not a lot of attention, but I think the winner of the Louisiana Derby is a wonderful horse, Hot Rod Charlie. His last workout was terrific. I was told that he galloped very well a couple of days ago. Mike Welsh said he actually was galloping so well he put the watch on him for a quarter of a mile when he was really picking it up. As Chris knows very well, Doug O'Neill can win the Kentucky Derby. Chris liked a $40 horse of Doug O'Neill's a few years back. I think Hot Rod Charlie is very live in this race. I'm neither essential quality. I just sort of, to me, he's a defensive use. You certainly don't want to be betting him to win in the parimutuel pool with Mattress Mack doing what he's doing. So, and to me, I'm looking for somebody else. The two somebody else's besides Mandaloon that I came up with were Hot Rod Charlie and Known Agenda. I'm not thrilled with either of them, but I think they're both legitimately solid horses. Known Agenda has something I really like, which is a lot of bottom. He started running a mile and an eighth in the second race of his life when he and Greatest Honor match raced and beat the field by 20. He's got, I don't know, four or five races, two turn races under his belt. The Florida Derby was good. Again, he got that great Irad ride because as someone who bets Florida, you learn when you're holding losing tickets, the great Irad ride is just comes with the territory. He's a phenomenally good rider, and I actually don't think that the one post is going to be a disadvantage for him. So those are the three horses I sort of think of as the win type horses, or Known Agenda, Mandaloon, and of central quality, of course, but as I said, he's just a defensive sort of play. And Hot Rod Charlie, I do want to mention a couple of horses who are working, or two or three horses who are working great, who are in that category of wild. Mandaloon is one, but a couple of other, Dynamic One has been the best working of Todd's four horses. His paper doesn't suggest it, but I mean, my God, this horse is training brilliantly. He needs a gigantic step forward. I don't think he's going to take a gigantic step forward, but he can take enough of a step forward to hit the super. Scott can tell you something about how the fourth hole can make the difference between a not very exciting super and a change your gear super. And the other horse, and he's kind of an interesting horse, but he's getting a lot more money and a lot more attention than I would have expected, is Obisos. He worked well about 10 days ago. I thought his Louisiana Derby was pretty good. That race held together. He came from last. I thought he ran, it was the first good race, really good race of his, but it was a good race. And I sort of thought this was going to be a 40 or 50 to one shot, but he looked more like a 20 or 25 to one shot. And so he sort of, for me, lost a little bit of the luster of the kind of horse that just makes your ticket. But I think he can, off the way he's training and off his last race, I think he can, he had a tremendous out in his workout. He can run well. So that's sort of where I look at it. One other thing I guess I will say is that it's gotten out of fashion, but I still think the Kentucky Derby is a race where foundation is important, and Rock Your World is a horses had three lifetime races. Cassie's horses have both had three lifetime races. There have been two horses that have won the Kentucky Derby off three races. One was Justify, who we now know is an elite racehorse, and who, I might add, is the only time Baffert has ever tried that. And this is a guy who knows something about winning the Kentucky Derby, and he doesn't think you win the Kentucky Derby with three races. The other one was Big Brown, who, and this might not be fair, but it is certainly the case that the minute Big Brown came off steroids, he was eased in the Belmont. And you have to wonder if that was enhancing that was helping him get bottom that he didn't get otherwise. But those are the two that have won since Regret won in the beginning of the last century. And I'm skeptical that you can win this race on three races, even if you're loose on the lead.
Okay, well, that puts the kibosh on my pick. Chris, where did you land here?
Well, I mean, I'm going to kind of summarize because we went into quite a bit of detail in our other pod with Jay Privman. We just went through all the runners in this race. But I have, and just like I have future wagers on I'll have another win for Doug O'Neill. I've been on Hot Rod Charlie for quite a while. I have pretty hefty future plays that will really look good at this point in terms of that. You know, they were good bets. I don't know if I'm going to cash them or not. But, I really like Hot Rod Charlie. Nothing I've seen has changed my mind. Listening to Maury say that he looks good is music to my ears. I like to hear that. So, I really think he's the one to beat. He does seem to be getting some buzz based on his training and on his name and on the backstory. So from a value standpoint and a win bet, I don't know if he's a good bet. I don't really care personally because I've already locked in my bet at a really good price. But I like him a lot. I also like Medina Spirit quite a bit. I think that they will send Medina Spirit. I agree with Maury, for a derby, this is not a speed-packed race. That doesn't mean they won't go fast for the first quarter because it's a straight and it's 20-horse scramble for position. But I think the important part of the race is what they do in the second and third quarter. And I think Medina Spirit will get out in front and Rock Your World, and maybe Soup and Sandwich will be stalking, maybe a couple others. I think they'll be happy to stalk Medina Spirit. They're not going to be in a hurry to push the pace to go a mile and a quarter. So I think it's going to favor the horses on or near the front. So those are the two I really like. And then Helium, if you listen to our other podcast, is my long shot. I hear what Maury's saying about Foundation, but just from a value standpoint, I thought his Tampa Bay Derby was way underrated by everybody, especially by the speed figures that don't take into account how efficiently the horse used its energy and how wide it went. I thought it was just a phenomenal race. I thought that horse has looked good in the morning, so I'm interested to see what Maury has to say, if he's watched Helium train at all and if he had any opinion on that. But, you know, to me, that's your 40-1 shot that can juice up the superfecta, trifecta, who knows? I wouldn't be shocked if he won, but that's the horse I think that can really juice up the payouts, is Helium. So, you know, there's other horses I think have a shot in a 20-horse field, but the three horses I'm most interested in are first Hot Rod Charlie, and then Medina Spirit and Helium. And that kind of sums it up for me.
Okay. Well, since our Derby pod, I did more handicapping, our Derby preview pod. I did more handicapping and I decided that I love Soup and Sandwich. And unfortunately, he's going to get a little betting action. He's 20-1 right now. He's 20-1 in the early betting. He's only run three times, but he is 2-for-3. And the one race he didn't win, he was second in the Grade One Florida Derby, going 1 1/8. There he ran against a closer flow, according to racingflow.com. And if you just want to go through charts, you'll see that horses from off the pace at least fourth or worse at the first call won every race on dirt that day. I actually love the way, how far outside he is. That gives him an advantage because he'll be able to either, he'll be able to assess the pace. Gaffleone will be able to assess the pace. And, on speed figure wise, he's as fast as Known Agenda, who's going to be, 6-1 or so. And the reason why he is because on the sheets, they take into account the ground loss, and he was too wide pretty much the whole way in that last race. And Known Agenda was on the rail. So, their numbers came up about the same. I read some stories. I did some searching just to find out a little bit more about the horse, and they were always high on this horse. There's a few stories that came out like before and after his last race. Tyler Gaffleone has been gushing about the horse. He says there's an aura about him. Now, I do think it's a tall order, like Maury says, having that foundation, not having that foundation. So I'm going to have him in every spot in the super. I think he could win this race, but I probably, in order to hit the super, I'm probably going to have to insist that Essential Quality and Soup and Sandwich both get into the super. And that'll allow me to go pretty deep with a lot of other contenders, including almost every horse that you guys mentioned. Plus maybe, maybe keep me in mind at the bottom, since he seems to be waking up. And I'm not sure about Rocky World. Maury, I know you didn't like him, and I'm a little worried about him just because, getting off the van, as we talked about in the last pod. But tell me the case against Rocky World, Maury, because he's going to take a lot of money.
Okay, the case is twofold. The main case is foundation. There's a case I don't buy, but I thought was going to mention, which is until Accelerate won the Breeders' Cup, Sadler had gotten a reputation as a guy you really didn't want to be betting outside of California. I always thought that was overblown, but it does deserve to be mentioned. And Accelerate certainly won the Breeders' Cup pretty strong. The other case against him is that Santa Anita, the day he won the Santa Anita Derby, was an inside speed racetrack. He was loose on the lead. Medina Spirit didn't have any of the best of it early that day. Medina Spirit's going to be closer. Medina Spirit sort of got into that three wide on the first turn trip, so he never really had the chance to put on pressure. And Johnny at that point just said, well, let's let the other horse come back. When you're a 4-5, you do that. A 4-5 shot, you do that. And the horse didn't come back. So that's basically it, is that, we're talking, I don't think this horse is justified. And I think it takes a justify to win all three races. That's kind of where I'm coming from with him. He's second choice in the, but I don't know if he still is, but he was second, in the sort of offshore kinds of play, or Vegas books or whatever, he's second choice. I just don't need that for a second choice in this world. I'd much rather have a horse like Hot Rod Charlie with a lot of bottom. And I think as much talent. Rocky World's been training very well, by the way. I mean, he's galloping well. He was last, Sadler horses usually don't work that great. His last workout was very good. Sadler isn't Baffert the way he trains. I mean, they just don't look, they never have that, oh my God, feel like you get watching them, one of Baffert's good horses work. But that's sort of those are my knocks on Rocky World, or a combination of price and lack of foundation. He certainly did get, obviously Concert Tour being out and Caddo River being out have made his life a whole lot easier than it looked like it was going to be 2 weeks ago.
Well, it does look like he's second choice, and it looks like the Jim Mackingbale bet is in on essential quality because he is now 3-5.
Well, at least part of it's in.
At least part of it, right.
Yeah, so I a couple things I want to say on the foundation piece. I get that, and I think there's definitely something to that. But there's to me, a big difference between how the three races were when they occurred. I mean, a horse like Rock Your World and Soup and Sandwich, to me, they lacked that foundation. They didn't start running until recently. They're kind of rushed to the Derby. Their talent brought them here. But you got to feel like, you know, maybe they are missing some of a foundation standpoint. You know, I just, to make a little bit of a case for Helium, that horse had a 2-year-old foundation. It won a stakes race as a 2-year-old. So it's been in training for a long time. It has more bottom. It didn't get rushed into the Derby. In fact, the argument against Helium is he hasn't had enough. He hasn't done enough recently to be ready. And that might be a good argument. Although in the modern era of training, trainers bringing a horse into a target race off an 8-week layoff is not unusual at all. I mean, just look at the race we're just talking about. So I just want to kind of point out the difference in terms of the foundation. I mean, to me, a horse that was in training and won a stakes race as a 2-year-old's got a pretty good foundation going into the 3-year-old year, as opposed to a horse that doesn't even get to the races until its 3-year-old year. I think there's a little bit of a difference there. I just wanted to point that part out. I don't know if Maury agrees or not.
I do agree, actually. I mean, there is one other thing I wanted to say about Justify. In terms of nobody trains horses harder than Bob Baffert does, or nobody in that category. Baffert's horses, even if they've only had 3 races, have phenomenal foundation because their workouts are hard and they're usually in company and they have big gallop outs and so forth and so on. He trains differently than other guys, perhaps because he, you know, a lot of Bob Baffert horses fall by the wayside. This year, his 2 best horses have fallen by the wayside. Last year, his 2 best horses at the time fell by the wayside. And he won the Derby with another horse. He's just, when you're in the position that he's in, you push them hard because you're being paid to win the Derby. And if that means that horses don't make it, I remember a couple of months ago, or maybe a month ago, whatever, watching how Greatest Honor was working and watching how Life is Good was working. And Chuck McGahee and Bob Baffert are both Hall of Fame trainers. And you could not find 2 more dissimilar ways of bringing a horse up to a race than what Chuck was doing and what Baffert was doing. And it's just the way that Baffert trains is going to give. If a horse is good, I'm a lot more comfortable with Bob Baffert with 3 races than I am with other people, because Baffert has really, you know, has really trained them to death. Most guys don't train that way. Most guys don't have authentic in the barn if things go wrong with the first 2. It's really hard to do this. And a different sort of thing, but like King Fury is basically trying to win the Derby off 1 prep this year.
By the way, he's a scratch.
He had a lot of bottom from last year, and he's working great.
He's a scratch, Maury.
Are you scratched?
Yeah.
I was unaware of that.
It just broke.
Oh, well, there goes a prop or 2 against him. That's good to know. Ken McPeak gets pretty darn good results, and I look at that and I really just, it's just, I don't quite get it. He does things that are so weird, but it works for him. And bringing this horse back off 3 weeks, was into the throwing him into the Derby all 3 weeks, which he isn't doing anymore. But boy, that seemed, you know, that really seemed to be a rush job. Anyway, okay, so we have a field of 19.
All right, field of 19. So I do want to wrap it up because we've been going for 90 minutes and we've got Oaks Day. And also we want to give people a chance to listen to this before tomorrow. So I would wrap it up and like to thank our guests.
Can I just get one more question out of Maury? Didn't tell me how he thought Helium had been training. Do they have any opinion on that?
Helium's been training well. Scott tore soup and sandwich. I didn't like his maintenance work, but his real work 2 weeks ago was terrific. Both of the Cassie horses are doing well. Nothing in Helium, the way Helium is coming to the race, would discourage you.
Okay, sorry about that, Scott. I just wanted to catch that while I had Maury on the line here.
All right. All right, well.
You can always send emails.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I might do that. And for our listeners, Maury's email is, just kidding. Anyway, I would like to thank our guest, Maury Wolf. Maury, thank you for taking the time out of the Oaks card to handicap with us.
Thank you both for having me. It's always great to talk to you.
It's always great to have these roundtables. That will conclude show number 119 for the Sport of Kings pod. Of the Sport of Kings pod. Good luck in the Kentucky Derby, and please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
I'll see you on Sport of Kings. Cheers.
Giddy up.